For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He's been here.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
He's been there.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
He's been everywhere.
Shot from there and a save and a rebound. Yes! Score!
Yes! Kings win the cup.
Sobel.
It's one small step for man.
Ted Sobel.
One giant leap for man.
The man, the myth, the legend.
What the hell's going on out here?
Now, one-on-one with Ted Sobel.
And welcome to a special Stanley Cup playoff edition of Touching Greatness here on the Believe Podcast Network as we focus on the changing of the guard at the Los Angeles Kings with new head coach Todd McClellan introduced on Wednesday at their practice facility in El Segundo, California. I attended that news conference and had the chance to chat with Kings general manager Rob Blake, longtime radio play-by-play voice Nick Nixon, and his color commentator Darrell Evans. And then 2 days later, Coach McClellan called me for a special one-on-one just to introduce himself in more detail to his new home fans in L.A. First, let's hear from GM Rob Blake, who I was able to grab on the run to get a few comments about this very important decision for his team and his own future with the Kings.
Always good to see you, sir.
Yeah,
so
good. The pressure is a little different now after a couple of years of doing this. You got to get some W's.
You got to do it right. You know, you're allowed a few failures and a few mistakes, but you're not going to make those again and again. That's for sure. But it's no different when you played. Same type of thing. But it's there and it should be there.
So what do you know about this guy as the coach who's coached you?
Yeah. Right. Just probably the experiences in a lot of situations over a couple of years. So, you know, how he handles a pregame meeting, how does he run the power play, how does he delegate, you know, jobs to his staff, you know, what happens when you lose five in a row, what happens if you win five in a row, all those things come into play. But, you know, a lot of times in an interview you'll get the answers you want. It takes a few hours and different things, but I've been able to do it for over a couple-year period. I got to see it firsthand, so that's what made me comfortable with that.
But the fit now with these guys, how do you see that?
Well, I think this is the relationship he has with players. You know, we had that in San Jose. You know, I was 40 at the time, and then Mark Edward Velasquez was 21. But I saw the fit there, and I saw how he made those players that were good enough and young enough to come in and play, how he made the older guys accept them into that.
Okay, and we talked about it earlier. You thought John Stevens was the fit.
Yeah.
So why is this different in your mind now that you've, especially after what?
Well, no, John's a very good coach.
No, exactly. But there's a fit, though, isn't there?
There is, and it's different stages of teams.
Right.
You know. Also, I think we were holding on to trying to compete with John in that attitude, and he had a good rapport with the players that were currently there. You know, this team is going to be much different than it was a year and a half ago. So, yeah, there's different coaches for different types of teams, for sure.
And the transition from the way the game is being played now and from the way you guys won the cup, you always talk about you got to get faster, right?
And you got to get faster, smarter. Yeah, no, there's a lot of different things. Yeah. Age is a concern when you get up there, obviously, and if you look at the teams that are having success, there's a certain age group in there. And that all comes into play, but that's the transition of the team. That's not what we're not the team we were a year and a half ago by any means going forward.
So what is the main ingredient that you need to add moving forward?
Structure.
Really?
I need the structure in place every single day that the players come into the rink. And it doesn't matter if you're old or young.
Okay.
You have to have that structure in place, and that's where the credibility of the presence and all these different words that will come in to describe that structure, but you have to have that right from day one.
How about actual players themselves, though? I mean, and there's going to be maybe some changes here, too,
in the
right?
Players. The players have to believe in the system that will be put into place. And part of that is teaching them or telling them how to do it, explaining them to do it. But showing them why they're doing it. And when you get all three of those ingredients, you do get a belief from the players. And that's what we need.
of course, everybody wants to know, like, what's the future roster going to look like, too, right?
I mean, that's all it comes to. Too.
Now, I bet you do.
I mean, you know, the very important draft with three yes, picks in the top absolutely. 33. You know that. Whether it's important next year, I wouldn't probably foresee that. These players are young. They do take some time. But I think in the future it is a very important draft with the high-end talent that's available.
So what do you tell the fans who are saying, we love Jonathan Quick, too. He's won great. Us a couple
he's
cups.
You know, so it's like, and they're great. They're great players. Kopi, Brownie, they should all be so fortunate to be able to have those in the organization because they did win here.
Appreciate the time, Rob. Good
all
to
right.
see you, man.
Thanks.
Our thanks to Rob Blake. And now let's hear from the man who will make him look like a genius or just another guy in the GM seat.
We have a special guest, the brand new head coach of the Los Angeles Kings. And I guess we can now call this the Todd and Ted Show. He's got two D's. I only got one. Coach McClellan, welcome to Los Angeles.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's an exciting time for myself and my family. And we're looking forward to becoming part of the community and Kings hockey.
26 different head coaches in Los Angeles Kings history. I've dealt with 20 of them. I actually have had nice conversations going all the way back to the first one in Red Kelly. So you've got a fascinating history to be a part of here. Let's talk about the last several years, what the Kings have done, and how that's changed expectations in this town. And now you're going to have to bring some of that back.
Well, we certainly do. And, you know, you talk about the history. There was obviously the early King years, and then certainly the environment changed when Wayne Gretzky arrived. And,
yeah.
You know, from that time on, hockey's really grown here in California in particular, but the South Bay, obviously the two teams down here and the competitiveness between the two. But the LA Kings in particular, the ability to merge as an elite franchise in the National Hockey League, the championships, the fan base that's really grabbed onto the organization and followed it throughout the years, definitely passionate. And we have a tough task ahead of us to restructure the team a little bit and get back to the good days. But the group that is there now with myself and management and the players will be prepared to do that. A lot of heavy lifting, but we're ready to go.
And one of the things I've always been a strong advocate of in life in general is it's really who you know. And the fact that you have a relationship with Rob Blake has to be a huge part of this.
Well, it definitely helps. I think anybody feels a lot better about the situation they're entering when they have some sense of familiarity. For me, it's a lot about rhythm and habits and individuals, you know, tendencies, emotional level, and I know Rob real well in that situation, certainly as a player. Now, that was a few years ago. Everybody changes the way they do things over time, but we've kept our relationship intact. We've been able to talk a lot about hockey, you know, really when we weren't even involved with each other, just talk about the game and share ideas and thoughts, and I think that strengthened the relationship. I'm really excited about working with him. I think he's a young general manager that has a lot of energy and passion that he's putting into the job. And he's got a clear, concise plan, which is a really attractive thing for me as a coach.
A team in transition is what this team is all about right now because there's a combination of youth and veterans, and that's always the toughest time when you have had success and you're trying to move forward. This is the part of the biggest challenge, right?
It certainly is, you know, and it can be done. I've seen it done before, but it can be done, and it's the attitude that everybody's willing to accept. The youth has to come in and provide a punch or a kick, if you will, some energy to the organization. They have to come in as very professional individuals. I think that's really important to the veterans that are in that locker room right now. So come in and show me that you're willing to work hard and do the things that we had to do to win Stanley Cups. But with that being said, the veterans also have to understand that they play a huge role in this. They have to be accepting. They have to understand that some of the younger players will err at times. They'll have to be guided through becoming real strong professionals. And while the veterans are providing all that leadership, they have to maintain the level of their play without any excuses. So, you know, that's what we're faced with. That's what we're going to have to blend together, but it's a job we're all willing to accept.
I love the analogy you gave me when we spoke for a few minutes at the news conference on Wednesday. I told you I just got back from the Masters, and you gave me an analogy where the veterans need to be sort of Tiger Woods-like and evolve back into greatness again.
Well, you know, and they're not that far off. They're, the veterans that are here with the Kings are tremendous players. They're winners. They're champions. They still have incredible skill sets. They're driven athletes. It's just getting the polish back a little bit and maybe mindset more than anything. But Tiger, for me, is a real, what's the word I'm looking for, a real unique set of circumstances in his world. The best. He did so many things well, and then his game got away on him due to health and some other reasons, but he was able to recreate himself. And I think if you sat down with him, he'd probably tell you he doesn't approach the game the exact same way as he did 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He's managing the course a little bit more, in my opinion. He's not striking the ball as hard. He's more patient. And sometimes you have to recreate yourself as an athlete to have future success and extend your careers. And potentially there's some athletes on our team that need to do that.
It's not just the team in transition. It's a league been in transition for the last several years. You always talk about quickness and speed and skill has really become just a strong part of the NHL. So what do you do, not specifically necessarily, but you've got your work cut out for the aging guys that need to be able to keep up?
Well, the young players have to as well. Like you know, I like doing these interviews and stuff, but I don't want to keep separating our team. We will be a group, regardless of age. The youth will have to bring that, but I am a firm believer that you can only increase speed, foot speed, by small, small amounts, whether it's how you train in the summer, whether it's how you train during the season. For me, mental reads, the puck movement, the cleanliness of execution will make a team a lot quicker. And we're going to have to look at the way we play. We're going to have to adjust a few things, and it won't happen right away. You're not going to come to game one and say, wow, they've got it.
Sure.
But over time, I believe that we can put that in place to where we can begin to play with a little more pace and basically play the way the rest of the league is trending to.
Time and space is always a term that's used in hockey. And how much does that come into play, too, whatever your age and speed is? Because if you control the time and space, you don't have to be the fastest guy.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, get to your job, get to your next task before the other guy gets there. Now you have time to operate. You have some space to make the next play. And, you know, that's something that we will stress. That's something that we'll try and get the players to read a little bit better and react quicker. But it's often easier said than done, but I believe we can do it.
It is great to have the newly named head coach of the Los Angeles Kings, Todd McLellan, as our guest here on our special Stanley Cup playoff version of Touching Greatness podcast here on the Believe Network. Describe your style of coaching, Todd, and how that you think it will fit with this organization as you move forward. And what happened in Edmonton that didn't quite work out for you and your coaching staff there?
Well, style is, you know, I think I'm a communicator. You're going to hear that from every coach and every pro level right now, because those are essential skills. You don't get to this level without having some communication skills, but it's how you do it, the timing of presentation, the level of emotion that you use. I believe in letting the players or getting them to understand why they're doing things, not just how we're going to do it, but why are we doing it this way?
Mm-hmm.
It'll give them a better chance at success, I believe. I can be patient, but I can also, my patience can run thin when errors are made by omission rather than commission. And, you know, so I'm somewhere in between a player's coach and an old school guy. As far as Edmonton goes, we had some, you know, a couple of real good years, and then we strayed from our plan a little bit. We wanted things to happen a little too quick. There was some decisions that were maybe made that put the team in a position that was a little weaker, and what I can tell you there is everybody takes ownership in it. It's not just the head coach, it's not Connor McDavid or the star players, it's not just the manager. When an organization succeeds, it takes a tremendous amount of input from a lot of people, and the same thing can be said when it diminishes or it doesn't go their way.
I had a nice chat with Rob Blake on Wednesday, and he used the word structure, that's what he believes you're going to bring to this organization as well as anybody else could. How do you describe that and what you can do in that department?
Well, structure allows for an individual to bring his own game and fit into a team game. That's how I would describe structure. It's not always just moving pieces around on the chessboard. We have to allow players to play to their strengths, but we should be somewhat predictable in a lot of areas of the game. And that might be in the D zone or whatever. The unpredictability comes from creativity, but the ability to read off each other, to get to positions when we need to get there, to anticipate what might be happening next, all comes off of structure, and that's what I'd like to put in place.
And the plan, you mentioned you like the organization's plan. And how would you describe that to the average fan out there and what they have to look forward to over the next few years or so?
Well, I've been in six, seven different organizations now at different levels of coaching. And this was the first one where I really sat down and got into a in-depth plan with management. And that comes all the way through ownership on down to different levels of executive sign off on it. Detailed plan. It's the transition of the team into a newer identity. It's got a timeline to it. There are, because we are in a cap world and the salaries are really big and strong, there's some money elements to it, but it can be laid out. You can see where you are in the progression of it. And, I don't see us straying from it. Even if we have a successful year, the plan still has to be in place, and the team has to transition a little bit into a newer era.
I've always thought of the term built for playoffs extremely important in hockey as much as any sport. Do you agree with that? And are some teams just great regular season teams? And I'm not saying Tampa Bay is one of them, because I guess we will find out in the next few years. But how much does that come into play in trying to build for the playoffs for the long haul?
Well, it can be catch 22. I would say that the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings are built more for the playoffs than they are the regular season, yet both of them are out right now.
Exactly.
That heaviness, that hardness, that experience.
Yep.
You have to get there.
Sure.
You have to have the chance to actually compete in the playoffs, and Tampa and maybe some other teams had that chance. Now they'll go back and they'll adjust. So we want to get back to the playoffs eventually. We've got to get there. We've got to build a team that can get us there and augment it as we go forward with players that can help us when we get there. But, I'm talking further down the timeline. I'm talking further into the plan, one step at a time and patient.
Is Columbus a good example of that, though, where they basically been in playoff mode the last several weeks and they just continue on?
I would say so. I think Columbus is finally coming together as a team. They added significant pieces at the deadline, not third or fourth line role players, but significant pieces. So their identity is now being adapted by everybody, and they're playing excellent hockey. So they're built to be in the playoffs, but they're also built to get there. They're a good example.
Quick analysis of the playoffs thus far and what you're looking forward to down the road. Who's the best spot to win the cup this year?
Well, you know what? If I could see the crystal ball, I'd know a lot more, but I was certainly thinking Tampa to get itself there. So I'm out when it comes to predictions, but there's been a lot of exciting hockey. There's been a lot of unpredictability, as it always is in the first round. A lot of emotional swings with each of the series. So I always thought or found that watching or being involved in the first round was so exciting because you never really knew what was going to happen. But a week from now, maybe we can talk again and we can pick our favorites. But right now, I'm out after the first round. I picked Tampa.
I love that. Hey, by the way, the familiarity of being around the Pacific Division as you have, how much does that help this transition for you personally, just coming down here to SoCal and saying, hey, I know this division, and it's a lot easier than coming in from Detroit or somewhere else, right?
It helps. It certainly does. And the Kings themselves, in my coaching career, I don't think we played against the team more than the LA Kings. So in some strange way, you almost get a sense that you know some of the players, you understand their tendencies, you recognize faces, which always makes you more comfortable. And I'm just talking about myself, but I'm sure some of those players, or some of our players, those players,
sure,
are feeling that way as well about me. So the quicker you can become more comfortable with each other, the more chance of success early.
Finally, Todd McLellan, you've been the enemy, and because San Jose is a heck of a rivalry with the Kings. That's got to be a fascinating transition for you to come down here and say, okay, I'm your guy now. Let's forget the old days. What's that like inside, knowing you're with the enemy now?
Well, I think of it the other way. I think they're the enemy now. I think I'm at home. So
okay.
I've quickly transitioned. But, you know, it'll be interesting because I've been with different organizations, but never where you've gone to a rival. So I'm looking forward to experiencing it. There's still a number of players on that team that I coached, people that I consider great players and have strong friendships with. But once, as the players would tell you, once the equipment goes on, that all goes away and we battle and we try and beat them. And that's what our goal will be.
Well, it all goes away when you win too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Exactly. And what's the one thing you're looking forward to the most about living in SoCal this time?
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to comparing the lifestyle. I really enjoyed my time in NorCal.
Yep.
But I think this is a little bit of a different lifestyle. Anxiously awaiting to see how my family will adjust. And I'm really looking forward to it. I've enjoyed my time here already.
I was going to say, a kid from Saskatoon, I think if we talked to you 40 years ago, you'd say you're insane. I'd be coaching a team in L.A., right?
Yeah, you know what? You don't dream of that as a young kid in Saskatchewan. But the opportunities I've been presented, I'm very grateful for.
I appreciate the time, Todd, very much. Look forward to working with you over the next few years. And good luck with the Kings. It's going to be great.
Sounds good. Thank you.
New Kings coach Todd McLellan joining us here on Touching Greatness. And there are few who could speak in greater detail about this hiring as longtime Kings play-by-play voice, Nick Nixon, who's always been gracious with his time for my listeners.
We are with Nick Nixon, the voice of the Kings on the radio for how many decades now, Nick?
Four decades, 38 years. But
who's
counting?
Exactly, exactly. Okay, well, how many coaches have been here about since you... I know, we didn't count, but I counted since I've dealt with 20 of the 26 heads since they started. That's a lot. And so why Todd McLellan, do you think?
Well, to me, a couple things come into mind with this pick. I think the familiarity that Rob has with Todd McLellan, because he played for him in San Jose at the end of Rob's career. And I think whenever you hire someone in any business, you'd like to know what you're getting, right?
Sure.
So I think from a perspective, Rob, now GM, not a player any longer, obviously, he knows how Todd handles a room with players. So I think that comes into play. I think the experience at the NHL level also is huge. And taking nothing away from previous Kings coaches, you know, Willie or John Stevens before Willie, Todd has a wealth of experience at the NHL level as a head coach, 11 years. So I think those, to me, are front and center. And I just think that with the experience Todd has at the NHL level, he understands today's game and he understands motivation for not only the younger players but also to keep the older players productive. So it's to me kind of like an ideal package for what the Kings are looking for right now. You know, fans might say, the fickle fan may say, yeah, but what has he won? Well, you look out there, there's only maybe four, five at the most active coaches who've won Stanley Cups, right? One of them's not coaching.
What did Daryl Sutter win before he came
exactly.
in, too?
Daryl Sutter is not even coaching, and
exactly.
He won a cup. Joel Quenneville is still coaching. Claude Julien is.
Yep.
Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. But beyond that, you know, a lot of it is fate and how all the stars align when you get to the postseason. So, but back to the original question, I think you know, Rob is very comfortable with this pick because he knows what Todd is all about. There are going to be no surprises when Todd does something during the season that is either kind of off the charts or out of the norm, because Rob would probably go back and say, oh, yeah, he did that when we were in San Jose. I know what he's doing. That's a good move on his part. So I think there's a lot to do with that.
The word fit always comes into play with a coach. And I think what you said, the fact that he's been around from a little bit of the old school NHL, the transition into what it's becoming now, I think that helps a lot too, from the youth and the older guys. Because sometimes you don't need a teacher as much as you do a little bit of disciplinarian, but you structure, as Rob loves to say.
Yeah, and you know, the league is getting younger. You look at you look at the top 25 scorers this year, and how many of them are under age 25? Most of them are. Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby are probably the only exceptions. It is a young man's game, but the bottom line is you win with good players. And whether or not these good players are puck possession, big hulking centers like Andre Kopitar, or young, fast, quick, small guys like Brad Marchand or Johnny Gaudreau, good players make a difference. And you can say all you want about playing a certain style, but you need to have good players. And, for instance, the Kings are going to have a number one pick, a high number one pick in the first round. Right now it's fifth overall. You get a good player, you're going to get the best player available, right? You're not going to draft for speed, quickness, and offensive flair. You're going to get the best player. And if that best player is 6'4 and is like Andre Kopitar, you've got to take him, don't you?
Right.
So that's where I think I've kind of wondered this the last couple of years, Ted. Everybody talks about the new NHL being fast and quick. You got to move up-tempo. That's great. But if you don't have the talent to play that way, and the Kings, I think, were in that category. They tried to change and could not. If you're not in that category and can't do it, stick with what works. And I don't know how many times over the years coaches have said to me, what about the Kings tonight? Well, they're a big, tough, heavy team to play against. Well, they still feel that way. Persona of the Kings and the way they play is still out there among NHL coaches, even though they're trying to change. But to me, you just better players make you a better team. And I don't care if they're big, strong, and slow, but if they're a good player and score 30 goals and 80 points, they're on my team. So, yeah.
Is that the toughest part about Rob's job, do you think, though, is trying to figure out the next several years where this team wants to go with some of the older guys soon to be transitioning out, and do we go faster? Do we go a combination of big and fast?
Well, I think with Rob, and he's been adamant about this since he took over as GM a couple of years ago. He's not trading away the future. He's held on to his draft picks. Right now, the Kings have seven picks in the first four rounds. So they're going to get seven picks of the first, 110 players? So seven of those are going to be Kings picks. And if you look at what we talked about, the top 25 players being young and fat, quick and talented and under 25, they were all drafted in the first or second round, all of those players. So you just do the math. The more first and second round picks you have year after year, the better your chances of getting the star players. That's really, I mean, Connor McDavid is a prime example. First overall, everybody knew he was going to be first overall. And he's not going to be available for the other teams from the Edmonton Oilers. He's going to be an Edmonton Oiler for the rest of his life, right? So I think Rob has realized that that's how you develop a team and a franchise that constantly can be successful is you've got to hold on to your draft picks. And that's the only way you do it.
But in this sport, the draft pick doesn't usually do anything the first few years.
Well, so, but that's changing too. I mean,
there aren't too many Connor McDavids out there either.
No.
That's the problem.
But like you look at this draft, I'm told that probably the first, probably five or six of the top 10 picks will be in the league next year at age 18 because they either, you know, have the size and strength to play against men who are much older than they are, obviously, or they have the skill set. So, I think it's just, Rob is fairly new on the job. He's going to be starting his third year. He's inherited some issues. He's inherited some contracts that you look back on it, you kind of scratch your head. But every team, every GM, new GM of a team goes through that. They've got to figure out how do I fix it. And the one thing you can do to get it better quicker is by holding on to the draft picks. So that's what I like from what I've seen so far since Rob took over.
Speaking with Nick Nixon, voice of the Kings forever. And I'm also thinking about how difficult it is for a guy like McClellan coming in where he hasn't followed the team that closely. He wants to win now, too. He's not thinking about, I want to do it in 2 or 3 years from now, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I got to learn this team, and we got to have some guys who could do something now.
Well, every coach in any sport that's at the highest level, NHL, NFL, they have to win the next game. That's their job. They're not concerned with the Kings winning the draft lottery in June.
Exactly.
They, whether it's Willie Desjardins in his position that he was in as an interim, or a veteran coach who's been around the block like a Daryl Sutter, who had coached for a number of years before he came to L.A., their job is to figure out what they have in that dressing room and how to win with it night after night. So, and the other thing with Todd, which is kind of a bonus, I don't know how much weight you put on it, but I would put some. He knows this division. I mean,
absolutely.
He coached San Jose, he coached Edmonton, he's coached against the Kings, and he referenced the fact that he's probably played more games as an NHL coach against the Kings than any other team because he's been in the division. So this is his third team in the Pacific Division, and, you know, you got to finish in the top three in the division to automatically get in. So maybe that he knows some of the nuances, and maybe he can tweak the approach against Edmonton or against San Jose.
The familiarity helps anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just another, feather in his hat.
How about to the fans? They're looking ahead thinking, wow, this could be a really different roster next year if there are some key changes to guys they love.
Well, yeah, I look.
We don't know yet, of course.
No, yeah. And I said this at the end of the season on our talk shows. Right now the Kings have eight players that are in their 30s. And that, to me, the Kings can't start next season with that many older players in their 30s. So whether that's a trade, a buyout, whatever, I think that will change. And the message I would – and I said this probably coming out of the All-Star break, the bye week for the Kings. I don't think this team is as bad as being 30th in the NHL. I mean, last year, just a year ago, they had the best defensive record in the league, the number one penalty kill. A lot of those core players are still back. Now, they're getting a little older.
But they're not that old.
They're not that old. And they still are producing.
Yeah.
So I think with a new voice, a veteran voice that will obviously command the respect of the players, that this team will be a lot more competitive next year. And even right now as we talk, it is not, to me, with the makeup of the talent on this team, a 30th place team in the NHL. I don't know if I can go. I think they can compete for a playoff spot if they can add a couple pieces, a couple of their young prospects show well next year in camp, make the roster, and kind of change the whole outlook. But I think it's a team that – will compete a lot better next year, and
but
it
still
might be
a transition, though.
Oh, obviously,
yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the key word, though, isn't
because,
it?
Because and the problem with some of the teams we had going back 12, 14 years ago, we had a group of guys that were 30 or older, and a group of guys that were 24 and younger. We didn't have that group of prime athletes that would carry your team like the Kings did in winning the Cup. You had the Kopitar, the Browns, the Quicks, the Doughtys, and on, the Carters. They were all in the prime of their career. Now they're going on. So to me, that's a little bit of the void. I talked about eight players being 30 and older. Now you're trying to get in all these young players, and that's where Tyler Toffolis are important. The Alex Iafallos, the guys that now have experience a couple years in the NHL, they've got to shoulder some of the load offensively, forwards. You know, don't know what the ceiling is for Alex. 9 goals his rookie year, 15 this year. Maybe he's a 20, 25 goal scorer.
And that would be fine.
That would be fine. You'd expect that if he's going to be on your first two lines all
exactly.
the time. Tyler Toffoli has scored 30 goals in this league. He's dropped down the last 3 years.
You need to
he's
get 25 out of him.
He's got
minimum.
A rebound, absolutely. Yeah. And that second wave, you know what Kopitar is going to bring and Brown's going to bring. But that second wave just didn't get it done this year. And when you have older players and then you have younger players come in, you need that middle age group to shoulder enough of the load to be successful. It didn't happen this year. So.
I know you're not the GM, but can we play it for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Jonathan Quick's future. I mean.
Well, you know, from my
that's
heart.
That's a tough one, isn't
from
it?
From my heart, I hope he finishes as a King.
Yes.
If he has a couple more good years, gets to 400 wins, he's going to be a Hall of Fame goaltender. And I'd love to see him finish out his career as a King. But my head tells me if there are teams out there that are offering something that's too good to decline, based on the play of Campbell and when we saw Cal Peterson. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one. I would say if it's an offer too good to refuse, it could happen. I don't think it will. But again, you know, you look at some of the teams in the playoffs that are going to get bounced out early. We've already seen Tampa Bay get ousted and Pittsburgh get ousted. Not that goaltending is an issue for either one. They've got two young, good goaltenders in Vasilevsky and Murray. But if there's a team out there, let's say Calgary, that gets bounced out in the first round this year and they say all we needed was top-notch goaltending or better goaltending, do they take a flyer on a Quick at age 33 with three more years left on his contract, knowing that he's won two cups and he knows how to step it up in the playoffs? So
is his contract the biggest issue, though, you think? That's the most difficult thing?
Yes.
I'd love to have him, but I don't know if I want to pay him that much at this stage.
To me, if I'm another team looking at any of these 30-year-old Kings, right. Carter, you know, Kopitar, Brown, Doughty aren't going anywhere. But, you know, Carter, you know, you've got Kovalchuk, Trevor Lewis, you got Jonathan Quick. They all have term left. They all have at least 2 years left. So if you're another team wanting to acquire one, do you want to acquire them at some pretty big bucks? Your cap hit's going to be big for at least a couple more years. Does it make sense unless you feel that maybe it's the missing piece?
Exactly.
So, but I don't know how many teams out there would be thinking that way right now.
So what you're saying, it sounds like it's going to be a similar roster because of that next year with the Kings. Because you can't unload, if that's the key word, some of these contracts.
Yeah, you can't, but there's always buyouts. Buyouts are always options.
Yeah.
You take a cap hit either way there, moving forward for a few years. But if that's what it takes to facilitate getting to that next level and retooling to get younger and better.
And to make that decision, we're moving on. We've got to do it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
So any words of wisdom for the fans during the offseason at all?
Be patient. Let's hope that, you know, it's on the scouts. Like I said, you got seven picks in the top 115 or 120. They've got to find some gems. Not just, you know, you look at some of the real good teams and some of their best players were free agents out of college or third-round picks, fourth-round. Got to find some of those gems that can come in and make an impact. So, to me, I mean, I'm just speaking as a fan here. I think the heat's on the scouts. They've got all these picks. Find out who the good players are.
And then the pressure's on the GM to make the right move.
Exactly,
Thanks, Nick. Nice to see you.
Yeah, Ted, good to see you.
And from Nick Nixon to his longtime color commentator, Darrell Evans, who has his own opinions about the new Kings head coach McClellan and the direction this team is going in.
With Darrell Evans, not only one of the radio voices of the Kings, how many years has it been now, Darrell?
I just finished 20.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, so, and how many years did you play with the Kings?
Drafted in 80 and then got traded to Washington in 85. Time just flies by. It's been great. It's been great watching the game grow here in Southern California. Being part of the Stanley Cup championship teams was, you know, things that you never forget. And now it's kind of seeing the direction that the team's going, trying to, you know, reestablish themselves and get themselves back on top of the heap. It's interesting to watch from the outside.
Big transition right now because you really have found yourself getting a little older on some ends and a lot younger on the others, and there's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere, right?
There is, you know, and, you know, I respect the organization from where they're at. You know, when you put together two cups in 3 years and the other time you go to the West Conference Final, you know, what you built and the way you built it, you trust, and that's the way you know. Did the Kings hang on maybe a little bit too long? Yeah, probably. But that's easy to say now as we look back playing Monday morning quarterback. You know, that's where you have to try to make those transitions on the go. But you look at the game, the way the game has changed from when the Kings captured their cups. You know, big, heavy, puck possession type of team, very, very structured. That's the way the game was played back then. It's now a speed. It's a little bit more of a run-and-gun game. You're exchanging chances. You defend in a different way. There's a lot more grade-A scoring chances against the goaltenders. So it's a little bit of a different way. And you know, I think the Kings are maybe a little bit behind some of the other teams. Again, trusting the style that they won with, that they could get it done again. I don't blame them for that. But now's time to kind of dig the heels in and make that transition. I think subtly they did it last year with the infusion of some of the younger players. And more importantly, the style of hockey that those guys played.
Right.
The Wagners, Walkers and these type of guys, more of puck movers, Roy back on defense. So they're slowly transitioning in there. And, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's not going to happen overnight. But I think the mentality of where the scouts, minds are at, when they're looking to acquire players, they're looking at a different player than they did 5 years ago.
And we're here today because new head coach Todd McLellan is here. And the first thing I look at him is like, the fans are saying, we don't ever like you. You're a Sharks guy. You're an Oilers guy. Well, that changes in a hurry, doesn't it?
It sure does. And, and I think you can look at it like even when Rob Lake, was gone, and then, when he first came back, it's like, he left. But, I think Todd, coming here, I think he'll really embrace the Kings. And he answered the question when asked today that, it's got to be a little bit different because, this has been a team that you've, gone head-to-head with and you've tried to find a way to, to figure out. And he looks like he's excited. I think from the standpoint of the selection that the Kings have made, I think they have the right guy in place. I think he understands the NHL. I think he's got a really good grasp on the young players, having had, McDavid and Draisaitl in Edmonton, along with a lot of other, first round picks and first overall picks and things like that. So I think he's got a good feel for the young guys. And I still think he can have the, the compassion for, for the older guys. And I think he'll find a way to be able to kind of blend them together and get what he needs out of this team. I think his philosophy is good. I remember when he was an assistant there in Detroit, look at the personnel that he was around there. The great hockey minds, away from the game, the guys that were on the ice, he's got a lot of knowledge, and I think he's a good communicator, and having, talked to him about, his team over the years and doing my position, he's always been really good, at the way he's communicated and been very clear as to what, what his hockey club is trying to do, and I think that's what he's going to do here. He's going to have to get, build relationships and trust with everybody. I don't think that'll take long because I think he has those qualities as a personal, as a personality.
Right.
And I think once they, get to the season, I think you're going to see a whole different product on the ice. Are they going to go out and win right off the bat? There's no guarantee of that. But I think you're going to see a whole different approach to the game. And I think the Kings will reestablish an identity, and that's the way they'll play the game.
And by the way, I think Rob made a major mistake because he should have had a combination of bringing in McDavid with him. That would have changed a lot of things in a hurry, right?
No doubt about that.
How great is that guy, by the way?
He's, unbelievable talent. Time goes by, we're 10 years into his career.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see the levels that he gets to. Unfortunately, a lot of guys – that are good like that, reach that type of status, they're measured by their success, were they a Stanley Cup championship. All of a sudden, you look at Alexander Ovechkin now. He's got everybody looked upon him a lot differently now that he's got a cup.
Now he's a great team player and a champion, right?
Yes. And not to say that Connor McDavid's not that.
No, of course, he's a kid.
He's a great talent, but just the way that he plays the game, he's taking the game to a different level. And, the young kids that, I'm involved in, a lot of the community programs and things like that. And these young kids want to be Connor McDavid. They see the magic that he works. Just watching him skate, someone that's, always really put a lot of emphasis on the skating part of the game. It's a treat to watch. He's one of those guys that, almost like when we played against the Oilers in the 80s, they'd score a nice goal, and it was almost like on that bench you're silently kind of clapping your hands like, that was a hell of a goal, type of thing,
exactly.
Even though it was against your team. And
right.
He's that kind of guy. He's a wow type of player. And I think Todd's ability to be able to communicate with guys like that is going to help, because the Kings, they're going to have a couple of first round draft choices this year, including a high one at the fifth overall pick. And you want to have a coach that can relate to those guys, and being that he's got a couple of sons right in that wheelhouse as well,
right.
I think that helps too, the fact as well. So there's a lot of positives to look at here, and I think the players will be excited as to what they see. I think he's a guy who's been around enough, but a guy who's got a lot ahead of himself as well.
We're speaking with Darrell Evans, the radio color analyst for the last couple of decades here in L.A. for the Kings. And Darrell, I think you being the star of the Miracle on Manchester, do you ever like shake her head, wake up in the middle of the night screaming, wow, if it wasn't for that, how different would your life be?
Just one goal, right? You just don't know. It was incredible. And, you know, and even like at that time when the goal was scored, it was, you know, you knew it was a, you know, cool thing being down five goals and you come
speaking
back.
Speaking of the Oilers, right?
Yeah, speaking of the Oilers. You know, that you come back and you win the game. But I think I've really learned to appreciate, you know, the impact that it had, you know, not only in that particular game on the series, you know, and even in the game of hockey, you know, out here in Los Angeles, you know, that was a big moment for us.
Yep.
You know, we didn't go much further. We got beat out in the next round against Vancouver. But I think it just it's a moment that, you know, stands out, you know, in the history. I mean, the ultimate goal that, you know, is to win the Stanley Cup, and we eventually, you know, as an organization, finally captured that. It took 45 years to do that. But still moments like that, you know, even, you know, Butch Goring's moment, you know, being carried by his teammates, those are moments that you never forget. You know, regardless of what happens in history, those are incredible moments and something that I'll always cherish and, you know, something I'll never forget is, you know, when we get to this time of the season, you know, in the second week of April and the playoffs are starting, it just
comes, you know, all back,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It comes back, and, you know, it's been 37 years
wow.
now, but it seems like it was yesterday.
Unbelievable. How many times have you seen the video on that? Like maybe several thousand times?
Yeah. Yeah, to say the least. And it really never gets old. Really never gets old. Like,
do you ever think, like, maybe it won't go in one time when you're watching? It's like, hey, wait a minute, that'll change everything.
I don't even know if I've seen it go in yet. but when you look at that series, like, you know, being, you know, and again, even look at the way the game has changed since then. You know, the playoffs went to a 4-7 after that, you know, instead of the 3-5, the short series that we had, you know, 46 points separating the two teams. The first game of the series was an incredible game as well. You know, down 4-1, coming back and win 10-8. And that game still stands in the books
wow.
as most goals combined by two teams in a playoff game, 18 goals.
That's phenomenal.
So that was game one, you know, and then Gretzky scores an overtime game two to beat us 3-2. You know, and then the miracle game, we win 6-5. They beat us again 3-2. And then both teams jumping on the same plane going to Edmonton for game five. You know, so these are, you know, moments that, you know, you kind of overlook, like, you know, you just kind of put, you know, the attention on, you know, the Miracle on Manchester game. But every game had a little bit of a story to it. And ironic that they were the highest scoring team. I think that's the year that they actually set the record for most goals scored in a season. But we win a 10-8 game, the 6-5 in overtime game, the 7-4 game, and they win the 2-3-2 games.
Wow.
You know, figure it out, like, how that would have happened. But
by the way, is there one story that you can recall that's like a wow story when you guys were both on the plane the same time? Because, I mean, how unusual is that in any sport, specifically hockey, after you're beating the heck out of each other?
I think it was the silence on the plane. I don't think I've been on as quiet
really?
A flight. Just, I remember getting on there, and it was just silence. You know, not a word. It just seemed like there wasn't a word spoken either way, but I think it was that silence factor. It was just like everybody was just kind of like, you know, this is kind of, you know, an odd kind of moment. And I think everybody, it was an uncomfortable type of moment.
You didn't go back and hang out with Grant Fuhr or something in the back there?
No, he was not my seatmate. Yeah, we were just going to talk more about game three. But no, but it was one quiet flight. And then I remember arriving, and I think my partner Nick Nixon recalls it real good, and Bob Miller about some of the fans in Edmonton when we arrived there, like in the middle of the night. And, you know, they're kind of giving us the business, like, what did you guys even come for? You know, you guys are going to get beat, you know, tomorrow night. And, you know, we went on and actually won the game easily. We were up 7-2, and they scored two late goals to make it 7-4. So that was, you know, what a way to break into the NHL.
Sure.
You know, prior to that, I'd only played 14 games in the season. And you know, another odd thing about that was being able to even able to dress in the playoffs, because that's the year they expanded the roster from 19 to 20 skaters. And I remember Don Perry in conversation, the late Don Perry,
yeah,
just passed, I had played for him in the International League in Saginaw.
Okay.
I played for him in New Haven in the American League, and he was coaching in L.A. And after the 14 games of the season had come to an end, and, you know, there had been some injuries, and I remember him coming to me saying, Daryl, you know, just like last year when we called you up to Saginaw, he says, you know, playoffs, you know, everybody's going to be back, the injuries, you know, you're probably not going to get a chance to play. He said, but stick around, you know, gain the experience like you did. And I did that, and, you know, I remember the next day he come, he goes, they're looking to expand the roster to 20 players. He says, you know, you might get a chance to get in.
All right.
He said, you're not going to play, he said, but,
right.
you know, you might get a chance to dress. And I said, I'll be Dallas Cowboy cheerleader for you.
Right.
I said, just put me right in the front row, no better seat in the place than to watch it from the bench.
You didn't whisper in his ear, sorry, coach, but I may become one of the most famous names in the history of this organization. Just give me a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so it was, you know, just the way it all played out. Like, again, just being in the right place at the right time, having an opportunity.
Sure.
And, it all played out, and you know, it definitely defined my career. You know, I would have wished to have played a lot longer in the NHL, but you know, the time that I was there, it made an impact and left an impression, and that's what I got to take away with.
A couple of quick things: the roster next year for the Kings. How do you see that? Because of, and I just spoke with Nick about it, you know, the potential of maybe a few of the veterans leaving, a Quick, a Carter, but it's also going to be difficult to unload those contracts. So, I mean, what do you think?
I think now that they've got a coach in place and they've got a game plan, a blueprint as to how they're going to play, because of the type of year that they went through, the value on the outside is not great. Yeah. And I don't think the Kings are in a situation where they're going to panic. I think they're going to approach this in a real mature way, and I think some of these guys are going to be given the benefit of the doubt that maybe a fresh start again under a new direction with Todd. And if that's the case, we'll see a positive response. As time goes on, again, I think the big message that you get, and we've heard right from the last interview of the closing out the season, even in this one, is they want to get younger and yep. they want to play the game with pace. So there's no doubt.
But that's the league now,
that's,
too, though,
right? That's the league. So there's right. no doubt there's going to be some transition and there's going to be some turnover. But I think if the Kings can deal from strength, it'll really make this transition a lot easier. If they're able to get what they're looking for in return, deal from strength again, I think it puts them in a lot better position, and you'll see them kind of get into that next phase really quick. But it's going to be some interesting times. I don't expect anything too aggressive over the off season. I may be wrong. We'll see what happens at the draft, but I think the Kings will still look to try to get as much value for the players that they have if they are looking to move anyway.
It's like almost as much more on the other teams than it is the Kings, because it's what their needs are. Are we willing to take a chance, a flyer on a Carter at this stage or a Quick, and have to pay that much?
Yeah, I think when you look at the Kings, I think you have to take an honest assessment. And Todd mentioned it as well in his conversation, that you can't look at the team as last year, and you can't look at the team as the year before. Kopitar had a career year the year before. Last year, he has an off year. So
Brown had a better year this year.
And so it's somewhere in between there. Right. So that's what he's going to try to do, is try to identify where exactly they are. There's no way in my mind that you're going to tell me that five or six of these guys, their game has fallen off and they can't play in the NHL.
Yeah,
that's not the case. Do they have to change a little bit the way they play the game? Yes, I think they have to. I think they have to become more of a four-line team. And the players that they bring in are going to really open up a lot for these, for the veteran players. The veteran players, they know that, they need help. They can't get it done. I mean, when they won their cups, they were, they're 23, 25, whatever, 27 guys deep. And that's what they need now. They need the contribution from the young guys. They need these young guys to push. Adrian Kempe next year has got to push for that number two position. Iafallo, wherever he slots in. If it's going to be Anderson Dolan, Gabe Vilardi, Kapari, these guys have to come in. Wagner's got to, produce. I mean, if they establish him as a penalty killer with his speed and things like that, he's still got to find a way. If they, on the bottom six, therefore, hats off to Kyle Clifford for the way he, churned his game around this year.
Absolutely.
And I give him, he had probably the best, turnaround season from playing the style that he did throughout his career and taking it to the next level. Credit to the work that he put in to do that. But that's what they need from the bottom six. If they can, get double digits of the guys in the bottom six of their lineup, this team's going to be a tough team to play against. Takes a little bit of onus off the top guys. And, again, when you start putting four lines out there, Jonathan Quick's going to be able to perform in goal. They might be in need of a veteran defenseman still. I think that's probably, if I was looking at anything, that would probably one thing I'd say that they need to acquire would be a veteran defenseman. They got some great young kids coming, but I'm not sure whether or not they, with the, Doughty and Martinez being your 1-2, whether they have enough there. Forbert, he's starting to get some games under his belt, but I still think he could use another guy that's maybe got 400 games in the league, good experience, a blend type of guy that can help one of the other young guys continue to grow.
Quick thought on the Stanley Cup playoffs and already some surprising exits.
Yep.
Early golfing season.
Early golfing season. It's hard to believe that a couple of these teams have only played 1 week longer than the teams that didn't make the playoffs. It seems like it was so far removed. But
by the way, who's better right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning or the LA Kings? They're in the same spot.
Who's got more questions right now?
Exactly.
I think the Kings are clearly aware of where they're at. Tampa Bay is probably wondering where the heck they're
are
at.
Like, are we built for the playoffs,
yep,
or is this just a one-and-done surprise bad matchup early round situation?
Yeah, and it's tough. You know, when you go into a matchup like that, here's Columbus, a team that's never won a playoff round. So those are the type of series you don't want to go into. I always think that the first round of the playoffs is, I don't want to say it's the toughest because obviously winning a cup, closing it out, but it's got to be the toughest thing to go because you're not in playoff mode yet. Even when we say we play playoff hockey for the last month of the season or even all year for all that matters, playing in the playoffs is a whole different animal. And you get a little bit of a break here in that momentum swing. So, yeah, I mean, I would have picked Tampa Bay to win that series, but not surprised to see an upset coming from Columbus. Definitely not in a sweep. The Islanders not shocked me at all. I think they were poised. I think under the direction of with Lou and Barry Trotzer, they've done an outstanding job with that hockey club. You know, getting contributions from a lot of different guys, so that didn't surprise me. I think Washington will find a way to prevail over Carolina. And in the other series there, Boston-Toronto, I think, is going to go right down to the wire. I think that's going to be a long series, yet they're going to go back and forth. In the West, and looking at the teams, I think the Vegas Golden Knights right now are poised to be the team that comes out of the West. Matchups might change that. Injuries might change that. But an already very good hockey club coming into the season, went to the finals last year, and then you had guys like Stastny, Pacioretty, and now Stone, you know, just before the deadline. And those guys are contributing. So it just makes them a little bit more potent, a little bit more depth out there. They've got the physical part to their game, and Fleury gives them the goaltending. So that's a tough team. They're built well, and that's what I'd expect to come out of the West.
And Darrell Evans' pick to win the Cup is?
So, I need to know the two teams that are there. But
I know.
But right
that's
now, right now, if you look at you know, I think, you know, Washington on the other side because of the experience that they gained last year. Again, health will play a part of it. But I find them working their way out of the East. And I find Vegas out of the West. So we might see a rematch as to what we saw last year. And
that was a great series.
Yeah, it was a great series. And if they did happen to meet up again, I think it'll be just as great a series again.
Wow.
But would not be surprised if either one of those two teams won it.
I'm sure they both want to hear that out of your mouth. Thank you. We're ready to play it. Great to see you, Darrell.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this special hockey edition of Touching Greatness here on the Believe Podcast Network. Our thanks again to Kings new head coach Todd McClellan, GM Rob Blake, and radio voices Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans, and to the Kings front office for their great assistance in helping to bring you these guests. I am still Ted Sobel, thanking you all for listening to Touching Greatness, and enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs, as intense a competition as there is in all the sports.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.